radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Well, thank you, Dave, and welcome to Yesteryear, the best from the golden age of radio. On today's program, it's The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett, Bill Johnstone as Oliver Rowan, and Joel Cranston as Wyatt King. But first, it's the comedy of Bob Hope with The Bob Hope Show. Comedian Bob Hope made his radio debut on Major Bowe's Capital Family Hour in 1932, also appearing on the RKO Theater of the Air and Rudy Valley's Fleischman Hour before winning a regular spot on radio following his appearance in the big broadcast of 1938, in which he introduced the song that would soon become his trademark, Thanks for the Memory. Hope teamed up with madcap trombonist Jerry Colonna later in 1938 when he began a decade-long run on The Pepsodent Show. The Bob Hope Show aired on NBC through April of 1955 and then continued with some less degree of regularity on television up until the 1990s. On today's program, Bob is joined by guests Bing Crosby and Jane Russell. The program originates from the U.S. Naval Station at Long Beach, California. It's The Bob Hope Show, starring Bob Hope, Bing Crosby, and Jane Russell on this edition of Yesteryear.
Major Bowe. I miss the shadow notes, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent. Oh, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Merton Marge, Amos, and
Fields presents The Bob Hope Show with Les Brown and his band of renown. Our special guests, Jane Russell and Bing Crosby. And here he is, Bob Hope!
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. Nice being here for the Navy, picking up a little cigarette money. And it's really a thrill to be back on radio this year. In fact, it's even a thrill to think that radio is back this year. Of course, everything that happens in Hollywood is exaggerated. Hollywood is always in the news. Just this week, the senators objected to the Air Force hiring Frankie Lane to recruit men. I can't understand their objection. I think Frankie Lane might change the Army routine for the better. Instead of waking up the GIs with a bugle, he'll have Jezebel go around and nudge everybody. And using big entertainers could help the recruiting program, but it might cause some confusion. Imagine a poster with a picture of Dagmar in a sweater and underneath it in big letters, "The Army Builds Men." And if they use Esther Williams for recruiting, the Army would want to join the Navy. See, she swims, you know. But I do want to thank the Chesterfield Company for giving me this opportunity to entertain you wonderful Navy people. And I want to thank Captain Heine. I had dinner with the captain tonight, and he really believes in tradition. I accidentally spilled my soup on him, and he went down with the table. Hey, thank you. Hi, that was great. Why don't you run across the street and get yourself some coffee?
Coffee?
Yeah, take Les Brown and the whole band with you. I can handle the show from here by myself.
Aren't you a little obvious, Bob? Jane Russell's on the show tonight, and you want her all to yourself. Why are you so selfish about girls?
Well, my psychiatrist says I have a neurosis stemming from a prenatal avaricious aberration that lies dormant in the evanescence of my subconscious.
What does that mean in plain English?
Now, come on, all you guys get lost.
Oh, Bob, you have to be like that about Jane. Why are you so afraid to bring a pretty girl out while us fellas are here?
Hi, let me put it this way. If I had to walk through a lion's den, would I wear hamburger earrings? Besides, I happen to know I'm a big favorite with Jane Russell. The other day, the elevator at Paramount was full of handsome leading men, and I was the only one she spoke to.
Really? What did she say?
Let me out at the third floor. On the way out, knock on Jane's door and tell her Poochie is waiting, will you? That's what she calls me.
Poochie?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Well, I happen to know she calls her Cocker Spaniel the same thing.
That's what she used to call her Cocker Spaniel, so I proved I could bring back a rubber ball much faster.
Okay, if that's the way you
want to be. Gee, I hope I can get Jane to really notice me. I spent all afternoon getting ready. Well, I get rid of Les Brown and High. Now, if everything goes all right, it'll be clear sailing. Come in, you beautiful doll.
Okay, shall I flutter my eyelashes?
Oh, Crosby!
Thank you.
Well, what are you doing here? Who invited you?
Nobody. This is right on my beat, Long Beach. A lot of good ocean fishing down here, boy.
Oh, working in the cannery again this year, huh?
Oh, now, Rob, you can do better than that.
Easy, Frogman. Look, I'm busy.
Honorable, thank you for serving.
We're very busy here. Why don't you go somewhere and count Gary's royalties?
Oh, no, you don't. You don't do that to me. I'm going to stick around here for the main event. I saw that sign outside that said Jane Russell tonight. For me, that's for me.
Don't get too excited, Dad. Your corpuscles will think you're living again. I hate to disillusion you, Fletcher, but Jane isn't here tonight.
No?
No. But turn off your ignition. We changed our plan. Since we're at the Navy base, we're playing host to one of the older servicemen.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to get a look at the old boy. I just passed his dressing room, and I got a whiff of Chanel number 5.
Well, he used to be on the SS Missouri, and you know how...
I knew you'd never get past that.
And you know how Truman pampers those fellas. As the punchline came in section. So you see, all that's going to happen is we're going to have this old veteran on the show.
Well, I'm glad you told me. If Miss Russell isn't here, there's no use my sticking around. I'll be seeing you. Huh?
Okay, so long.
Hey, Bob, here I am back again. Do you want me to bring Jane Russell out now?
Hi. Have you ever considered having your mouth laced up and selling that pointed head for a football?
Oh, did I say something harmful?
No, not if your mother's still holding your place in line at the unemployment office.
Oh, don't worry, High. I'll take care of you. High, if old Dungeon Pockets fires you, you can come over and work on my show.
Oh, could I, sir?
Yes, sir.
You mean you'll take me away from all this?
Certainly. Just consider it my contribution to the Crusade for Freedom. On my show, you'll be your own boss.
Oh, gee, you mean I can have my initials monogrammed on my shorts?
What's on them now?
The Bob Hope Show on every Tuesday night. Don't miss him. He's a wow.
This lad has the sterling quality.
I'm not interrupting anything.
Well, Jane, come in.
Thank you, everyone. Hi, Bing.
Hi, Jane. My, the ancient veterans are getting better looking every year.
And how are you, Poochie?
Jane, I'll have to apologize for the presence of Saggy here. He wasn't invited. He wasn't really invited. He came in on the Grunion run.
Oh, Bob. I'm always glad to see both of you boys, and you know it.
Yeah, but think how much better it would if he weren't here, you and I alone. Jane, we go together like Anthony and Cleopatra, Romeo and Juliet, Artie Shaw and anybody.
Hey, Jane, you'll forgive me for asking, but what is a beautiful star like you doing on this low-class clam bake here with vacuum talent?
Well, you see, Bob promised me a highly dramatic role if I appeared on the show tonight.
Yeah?
I'm to be the star of the play.
Oh, well, heaven knows I'm not one to be suspicious, but exactly what is he trying to rope you into?
Well, he said the play is a saga of a beautiful woman's loneliness. Mm-hmm. It's called The Lighthouse Keeper's Daughter.
Mm-hmm, and I... Unquestionably, he's the lighthouse keeper.
I'm the lighthouse.
Boy, you got the beacon for it. Say, people, I'm sure this little drama would establish new heights in the theater, but I don't see how we'll have time for it. Because, you see, perceiving an opportunity for a plug, I thoughtfully brought along a scene from my current cinema smash, Here Comes the Groom.
Ooh, I saw that picture, Bing, and I loved it.
Well, thank you. I rather liked it myself.
You know, the music was excellent.
It had quite a good score.
And your voice was never better.
Thank you again.
Awful lonesome in this lighthouse.
Bob, don't you think that at this point a gracious host would ask Bing to sing something?
Well, don't embarrass him, Jane. Bing can't sing alone anymore. His voice is too weak.
Too weak?
Yeah, he can't get his tonsils to stand up until he gargles with cornstarch. I better do something with mine, don't you?
I like cornstarch. That's fun, too.
The other night, he and Mel Torme sang a duet together. With Mel pulling and Bing pushing, they finally managed to get the Mockingbird halfway up the hill.
I will give the lie. I'll give the lie to that bass canard here now by knocking out a big fat chorus of a song called Cool, Cool, Cool of the Evening. I think I know the word.
Well, sail fat, so a lot of these fellas are used to combat, so go ahead.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell them I'll be there. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
save your pappy a chair. When the party's getting a glow on and singing fills the air, in the shank of the night when the dunes are right, well, you can tell them I'll be there. Sue wants a barbecue, Sam wants to boil a ham, Grace votes for booger based stew. Jake wants a weenie baked steak and a layer cake. He'll get a tummy ache too. We'll rent a tent or a teepee.
Doo-doo.
Let the town crier cry.
Doo-doo.
And if it's RSVP,
doo-doo,
this is what I'll reply. In the cool, cool, cool of the evening, tell 'em I'll be there.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
slick 'em on my hair. And when the party's getting a glow on, singing fills the air. If I'm still on the beat and there's something to eat, well, you can tell 'em I'll be there.
We said the bumblebee, let's have a jubilee. When said the prairie hen, soon. Sure said the dinosaur. Where said the grizzly bear? Under the light of the moon.
How about your brother Jackass? Everyone gaily cried, you coming to the fracas, and over his specs he sighed.
In the cool, cool, cool of the evening,
tell them we'll be there.
If they want a pass on a deadhead,
sort of fracture their affair. Now when the party's getting to glow on, and singing fills the air. If there's gas in my hack and my laundry is back, if you need a new face or a tenor or bass, if I can find the right sock by 11 o'clock in the shank of the night when they're fixing to fight, if I can climb out of bed and put a head on my head,
well, you can tell her we'll be there.
Yes, sir. That's wonderful, Bing. That's from Here Comes the Goon, huh?
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it goes without saying that we're happy to be back doing these shows and telling you about Chesterfield. Tonight's show marks the beginning of autumn and the end of a perfect summer.
An almost perfect summer. The vacation interlude was not without its mishaps, Robert. Remember, you fell into the Gunnison River in Colorado.
Yeah, that's right, Bing. And if it hadn't been for Dr. Light down there, I came very close to drowning.
Oh, yes, it was almost a perfect summer.
Quieter, I'll tell everybody what the doctors found when they opened you up for appendicitis. What a place to hide a coffee can full of dimes.
Oh, yes.
And don't think falling in that Gunnison River was a joke.
Just how did it happen, Bob?
Well, it's quite a story, Jane. I was a long way from civilization, and I noticed a little general store, so I walked in. There was an old codger in there, about 80 years old, and... Well, how do you do?
Well, how to do to you, stranger.
Are you acting or keeping the eggs warm till the hen gets back? Look, Grandpa, is there any fishing around here?
Yep.
Good fishing?
Fair to middling.
Trout?
Well, for them as can catch 'em.
For them as can catch 'em, huh? Well, I'm a fisherman in spite of these city clothes. In fact, I never miss. Look, where can I find a fishing guide around here?
Well, I'm the fishing guide.
You are?
That's right.
Well, fine. Where's the river?
You know, I've been the guide around here 5 years, and you're the first one to ask where the river is. Well, all right, let's go.
I'll see you later, daughter.
Well, here we are, all alone.
You better get started fishing. You know, they won't bite unless you put something on the hook.
Okay. Hey, what's that big thing swimming around in the live bait tank?
That's Father. He likes to keep an eye on me.
Isn't it romantic drifting along in the river like this? How about a kiss?
No. Stay where you are. Oh, don't stand up in the boat.
Whoops!
Help! Help! What happened, daughter?
Dad, that's Bob Hope.
It is.
And I can't reach him with the oar.
Well, don't worry, I can.
Oh!
Got him by granny. Let's go, daughter.
Why are you rowing to shore so fast?
I don't want anybody to get to Paramount ahead of us and collect the reward.
That's the whole story, Jane.
What an experience, Robert. Almost as embarrassing as the little episode that occurred to me in that Canadian hotel.
Yes, I read about your getting thrown out of that hotel, Bing. How could the hotel clerk possibly have thought you were a bum?
Well, they show us pictures up there, too.
Nothing of the kind, Chadwick. A friend of myself had just come back to town after a little fishing and hunting. I had to shave for a few days, so I had quite a crop of alfalfa. We walked into the lobby.
Bing, don't you think we look pretty crummy to be going into a first-class hotel? We look like hobos.
Oh, tut, doesn't bother me.
I know, you're used to it.
I want to get cleaned up. We got to get these trout into the deep freeze.
Okay, but you talk to the clerk.
Service here. Service, please.
Will you ring in that bell?
Oh, I say now. Come now. Get out of here, you bum. We don't cater to tramps.
Yeah, steady. Forget the whiskers. Don't you know who I am?
No, but I'll wager you're not the president of the Airwick Company.
Now, will you please get out of here at once? The wallpaper is starting to peel. Now, be off. Be off, you bounder.
Now, wait a minute. We got some fish that have to go in the hotel icebox.
Look at you. Your appearance is frightful. Just look at those long, unkempt sideburns.
Sideburns? Those are two trout I couldn't get in my pockets. Mister, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be a little more courteous. I've got an idea. Why didn't I think of this before? Listen. Now, do you know who I am?
Mario Lanza's grandmother?
Hey, look, now we gotta get a place to stay tonight. Call the manager. Wait till he finds out who I am, boy.
Well, when the manager found out who you were, that did it, Bing. I knew the hotel wouldn't throw you out.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're all set. Look at the size of this place. And the fish can't spoil now.
Oh, quiet. I'm tired. Pick out a block of ice. Let's go to sleep, huh?
Bing, they didn't actually put you in the hotel refrigerator.
On the square they did, Jane, and that temperature was really low. It was so cold in there, my hair stood on end.
Oh, what a pitiful. What a pitiful sight, the poor little thing standing there shivering.
I choose to ignore that. Now, Jane, you know, I wouldn't have gotten into that scrape in the North Country if it hadn't been for you. Did you know that?
Me?
Of course. I went up there to heal my injured pride, lick my wounds. After I found out that you were making another picture at Paramount with Jazbo here instead of me. How come?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'd like to be in a picture with both of you boys. You know, one of the road pictures.
Well, see, I think we can oblige, Jane. Let's see, where could we make a road to?
Well, I've always wanted to play a Southern belle.
Well, that's for us. Pull up a bale of cotton and we're off on the road to New Orleans.
Enchanting New Orleans. It's the year 1900. Down at the levee, the show on the showboat is over, and it is moving out into the Mississippi. Janie, the beautiful star of the show, is leaning on the rail of the upper deck, enjoying the moonlight.
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, it's you again.
Now, you got to make up your mind and give me an answer.
Oh, you just think you're in love with me. Why don't you quit following me up and down the river?
Well, that's not easy without a boat.
Besides, sir, this showboat life isn't for you. But anyway, I've already given my heart to Blue Chips Crosby, the gambler. There he is over there. Over there at the roulette table.
Play us your best, have a bar and fry, you love. Step up and beat me, folks. I'm as helpless as a hound dog in a hog wallow. I'll take any bets from silver dollars to black-eyed tears.
Hasn't he got a real Southern accent?
Yeah, sounds like Chloe stepped on it with a wet foot. Play us your best. Janie, would you like me better if I were a gambling man?
Well, I might.
Okay, I'm going right over there and getting that game.
Get your chips down, gentlemen, for the wheel spins. Plenty of numbers for everybody.
I'll plunk it down $10,000 here on number 12.
I'm plunking down $20,000 on number 17.
Well, I'm laying my platinum watch of $15,000 on number 24.
All set, gentlemen.
Now, pardon me, mister.
Yeah, yes?
I'm a little superstitious. Just for luck, would you mind turning my bet over so the buffalo is up? Thanks, you can spin the wheel any time now.
Just take your bet off the board. We don't cotton to you cheap Yankees around here.
Yankees, I want you to know that I'm from the South and I'm proud of it.
So's the North.
I don't take that kind of talk from anybody.
Very well, sir. I'll be glad to give you satisfaction on the field of honor. Always a pleasure to fight a duel.
I'll fight a duel with you right here and now, Blue Chips, but I want my choice of weapons.
Well, very well. What weapon do you choose?
I'll whisper it to you.
Why, you can't mean it.
I do.
I'd fight you with swords, pistols, even hatchets at two paces, but this is inhuman. What about the innocent bystander?
You heard me. I chose the weapon, and that's it.
All right, but it'll be ghastly.
If you're ready, gentlemen, take six steps away from each other and turn.
Okay.
Come on in my house, my house. Come on. Come on in my house, my house.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Listen to the Bob Hope Show next week from Camp Pendleton with our special guests, Hedy Lamarr and Jerry Colonna. Jane Russell is currently starring in RKO's His Kind of Woman. Chesterfield has brought you the Bob Hope Show, written by Marvin Fisher, Norman Sullivan, and Larry Klein. Transcribed direct from Long Beach, California.
From October of 1951, the Bob Hope Show with special guest stars Bing Crosby and Jane Russell. It's the Six Shooter with the shooting of Wyatt King, starring Jimmy Stewart as Britt Ponsett, Bill Johnstone as Oliver Rowan, and Joel Cranston as Wyatt King. The Six Shooter aired on NBC as a sustainer from September of 1953 through June of 1954, starring Jimmy Stewart as the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. The series grew out of an episode of the Hollywood Star Playhouse by Frank Burt and was produced by radio pioneer Jack Johnstone, who had previously directed Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, Superman, and Orson Welles' Almanac. From May of 1954, it's the shooting of Wyatt King. Ponsett can't make town folk understand that he wasn't the gunfighter who shot Wyatt King, and can't understand why the notorious Wyoming kid insists that he was shot by the Six Shooter.
James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC radio network presents James Stewart as the Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends.
Keep your shirt on. Keep your shirt on. Bank don't open till 9 a.m., you got 5 minutes to wait.
It's me, Mac Hawkins. I got some news for you, Ollie.
News?
About Wyatt King.
Mm. Oh. Hey, what's happened, Mac?
They got him.
No.
Yeah. Sheriff Hemphill's bringing him into town now. The posse come by my ranch about a half hour ago. I took right off so as I could spread the word.
Well, I just can't believe it.
That's right. They got him.
Spud Hemphill capturing the Wyoming kid?
Yeah.
Oh, not that Spud ain't been a good sheriff, but... nobody's ever been able to lay a hand on Wyatt King before.
Well, the sheriff didn't exactly capture him, Ollie.
Well, I thought you said he...
Oh, the sheriff's bringing him in, and that's true enough, but the way I understand it, the posse just sort of stumbled onto the kid.
What?
Yeah, that's what they say. He was laying in a grove of sycamores over by Tenderfoot Creek.
Dead, huh?
No, but he'd been shot up some, a bullet in his belly. Must have been hit at close range. He was still out cold when they went past my place.
Well, is Spud say who shot him and left him laying there?
They just don't seem to know, Ollie.
Well, he was in mighty good health when he rode out of here yesterday, cutting off $2,500 from my bank vault here.
And your money was still on him. No need for you to worry about it.
Good morning, Mr. Owen. I'm sorry I'm late. Matilda had one of her dizzy spells this morning, and I had to wait until Doc McIntyre got there.
Jonas, you hear about Wyatt King?
Wyatt King?
The fella who held me up yesterday.
Oh, why, I thought they called him something else, some kind of kid.
That's right, the Wyoming kid.
Yeah.
Well, his real name is Wyatt King.
Oh.
Don't you ever read them reward notices down to the post office?
Well, I just don't remember names very good, I guess. What about Mr. King?
Well, he's been captured.
You don't say?
Yes, the sheriff found him down at Tenderfoot Creek. He was all shot up.
My, my.
And the darndest thing is, nobody knows who shot him.
Well, what's so peculiar about that?
Well, in the first place, the fellow who done it, he'd stand to collect a mighty nice reward. All them holdups King's pulled, well, there must be at least $5,000 offered for him, dead or alive.
My, my, that sure is a lot of money. Well, I better get over to my desk and start working on the accounts.
Ollie, that ain't the only strange thing about this here business.
What are you driving?
Well, I told you the kid had been shot at close range. That means somebody met up with him face to face. He wasn't dry gulched or nothing like that.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
And it would take a mighty big man to stand up to Wyatt King and a mighty fast man to outdraw him.
Yeah, he was supposed to be lightning gunfighter.
There's about 10 graves that'll testify to that.
Yeah, sure ain't nobody around here. Well, leastways, I can't think of anybody. Can you, man?
No, no, can't. Not a single solitary soul. I've been racking my brain ever since I heard what had happened.
Morning, gents.
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
You the banker?
That's right, Mr.
Name's Ponsett, Brett Ponsett.
Well, I'm pleased to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. I'm Oliver Rowan.
Howdy. I got a little check here. I was wondering if you...
Did you say Brett Ponsett?
That's right.
Well, I'll be doggone.
What's the matter, man?
Why, he's a six-shooter, Ollie.
A six-shooter?
Ain't that right, Mr. Ponsett?
Well, I guess folks call me...
There. Well, what did I tell you? Well, sir, I guess we don't have to do no more wondering about who shot up Wyatt King.
What?
Well, sir, we're all mighty grateful, Mr. Ponson.
Oh, hold on.
If we'd have known you was in these parts, we wouldn't have had no doubts in the first place. No, sir.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
You're the fellow who shot it out with King last night, ain't you? Well, it must have been you. It couldn't have been nobody else.
Why, of course it was him, Ollie. There ain't no doubt about it. I said it would take a fast man to outdraw the kid. Well, the six-shooter's just about the fastest man west of the Mississippi from the way I hear it.
Well, that's mighty flattering, but as far as outdrawing Wyatt King, well, I wouldn't know about that since how we never met up.
Never met up?
No.
Oh, you mean you didn't recognize him last night?
Last night?
Well, whenever it was you shot him.
Now, let's get this straight, gents. I didn't shoot Wyatt King last night or any other time. I've never laid eyes on him.
Well, if it wasn't you, then who did do it?
I sure wouldn't know. I rode down the trail from Fort Drexel. I didn't see any sign of Wyatt King or anybody else.
Tenderfoot Creek's just off that trail.
Is that so?
Well, if Mr. Ponsett says he didn't do it, I guess he didn't.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Sure. Why didn't I think of it before?
Yeah, I think what?
Everybody knows that the six-shooter don't like to take credit for what he does. He's the sort of man that hides his lamp under a bushel. Well, you ain't going to get away with it here in Copper Springs, Mr. Ponsett.
No,
you're absolutely right, man.
Yeah.
Why, shooting an outlaw like Wyatt King ain't nothing to be ashamed of.
Well,
Mr. Ponsett, you ought to be proud of yourself.
Well, maybe I would if I'd done it.
Hey, the fact is, Bossy now. Just wait till I tell Sheriff Hemphill about this.
Here now.
Wait a minute, Mac. Wait a minute. I'm coming with you.
Listen to me,
Julius,
will you?
You mind the bank?
Yes, sir, Mr. Rowan.
Mr. Rowan, hey, why do you... Well, I'll be darned. Well, I never saw anything like it. For the next half hour, folks came up to me from all directions, all saying I'd shot Wyatt King. Given me their congratulations. I told them I hadn't had anything to do with it, but they just wouldn't be convinced. And I didn't see how I could straighten them out on it. It did make me feel kind of funny, though, all this hullabaloo over a misunderstanding. And then when the mayor said something about letting the kids out of school for a day in my honor, well, I just had to find some way of putting a stop to it, so I headed over to the jail, introduced myself to Sheriff Hampton.
Sir, privilege to meet you, Mr. Ponsett. A real privilege.
Yeah, it's a privilege, yes.
Oh, not that I wouldn't have caught up with King myself sooner or later, but you kind of speeded up the operation.
Yes. Now, that's what I want to talk to you about, Sheriff.
Oh, now, don't you worry about the reward. I'll see that you get it.
No,
yes,
I'm not interested in any reward.
Well, yeah, everybody says you're the generous type. I heard that.
Well, I'm not that generous, Sheriff. I reckon I'd take the reward if I was entitled to it.
Oh, now, Mr.
Sheriff, Ponson, Sheriff, it... you've got to listen to me now. I didn't shoot Wyatt King.
Well, I heard you've been trying to ease out of taking the credit.
I'm not trying to do anything except tell you the truth. Now, you ask King when he comes to. You'll find out.
Oh, he came to a little while ago, Mr. Ponson. Right after Doc McIntyre got through patching him up. He's practically as good as new now.
Well, go on, go on. Ask him if I had anything to do with shooting him.
Why should I ask him again?
Again?
Well, sure. As soon as he was able to talk, I questioned him.
Well?
He says you made a lucky draw, Mr. Ponson. Of course, that's just an alibi.
No, no. Now, wait a minute here. Do you mean to say that Wyatt King claims I shot him?
Huh? Well, you're the six shooter, ain't you?
Well,
that's who he says done it.
I just couldn't believe my ears. I never laid eyes on this Wyoming kid my whole life. Oh, I'd heard plenty about him, of course. All his escapades. He had quite a reputation. Well, Sheriff Hemphill wasn't even easier to convince than the rest of the folks had been. So, finally, I asked him if he'd mind letting me talk to King. The fellow who'd shot him must have resembled me in some way. At least, that's what I figured. And I was certain that once we met head on, the King could see that he'd been wrong.
Well, Wyatt?
Huh?
This the man who shot you?
Why do you have to keep going over that, Sheriff? I told you who'd done it.
Yeah, but Mr. Ponson here kind of disagrees with you.
I sure do.
Oh?
Now, let's just get this thing straightened out once and for all, and then we won't have
What's
any...
What's the matter with you, Britt? You was ready enough to pull the trigger last night. Why are you trying to lie out of it now?
To pull... Why, you... You know we've never run into each other before, last night or any other time.
I got a bandage on my belly that says different.
Now, take a good look at me, Wyatt. Now, maybe in the dark you sort of thought that the fellow, well, maybe there was a likeness.
You got a twin brother.
Of course I've got no twin brother.
If you ain't got a twin brother, then it was you that shot me. And it wasn't very dark either. Don't you remember the way we were standing there in the moonlight and the way you went for your gun, the same gun you're wearing right now? I sure ain't likely to... Forget it.
Now, look here, Sheriff. Now, you listen to me. Now, I don't know what's the matter with this case. You must have gone loco or something, but I give you my word.
Mr. Ponson, we all know how you feel about accepting honors and having folks look up to you. But this is one time you just ain't going to be able to get away with it. As a matter of fact, I believe there's some kind of a doings planned over at the town hall later on this afternoon. After the parade, that is.
The parade? Oh, now, you just hold on here. Now, before everybody starts tearing around in circles, I'd like to talk to Wyatt alone, if you don't mind.
What for?
Well, Just give me a couple of minutes with him, Sheriff.
All right. But I sure don't see what you hope to gain by it. I'll have to lock in with him, though. Can't take no chances with a man like King. Give a holler when you want out.
All right, King. I want the truth.
Why, I ain't the one who's loco, Ponson. You are. That's a pretty big reward for me.
There's a reward for the fella who captured you.
Well, as long as I keep saying you're the fella you can collect, I'm doing you a favor.
Well, maybe I don't happen to want any favor from you.
Well, don't look like you got much choice in the matter, does it? Of course, just between the two of us. Now, seeing you right close like that, might have been somebody else that shot me.
You know doggone well it was.
Well, even if it was, even if I was mistaken about it, I sure wouldn't admit it.
I don't see why not.
Oh, now, Mr. Ponson, you don't think I want folks to know I was outdrawed by a little fellow with gray hair and a pot belly?
Oh, how's that?
A man who nobody's heard of, a grocery clerk or a sod buster. That's what he looked like to me. Why, he even had a ready-made suit on, a coat and pants cut out of the same cloth. Stiff collar. And a necktie. I never supposed a man like him would know how to use a gun. Otherwise, I'd been more careful.
Well, at least we finally got down to the truth, huh? Now, all you got to do is tell the sheriff and we'll...
I'm not telling anybody else, Ponson. And I got an idea your telling them won't make much difference.
What?
Not as long as I keep saying it was you that shot me. And, of course, that's what I'm going to say. I ain't got no choice.
Well, you haven't got any reason to lie about it.
Well, now, look, it's one thing to be outshot by Brett Ponce. That ain't so hard to swallow. But the idea of being outdrawn by a nobody. Well, I wouldn't be able to face my friends again after I break out of jail. They'd all have a laugh on me. Yes, sir. It sure was a lucky break when the sheriff come in and said you was in town. Yeah. Asked if you was the one that shot me.
Yeah, you're not going to get away with this, Kane.
Well,
know.
I'm sorry if it upset you, Ponce, but after all, I got my reputation.
Your reputation? Why, I never heard of such a thing.
Hey, Sheriff! Get me out of here!
We'll return to James Stewart as the Six Shooter in just a moment.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, I knew that there wasn't any point in hanging around the jail trying to make Sheriff Hemphill believe what Wyatt King had told me. King was right. As long as he kept insisting that I shot him, I wasn't going to be able to convince anybody of the truth. Unless the man who really did shoot him. I was walking down the main street, passing the bank, when I remembered what King had said. A gray-haired fellow with a pot belly, wearing a ready-made suit and a stiff collar and tie. I'd seen somebody who looked like that. I couldn't think where. Where was it? And then I just happened to glance into the bank.
Yes, sir, what can I do? Oh, what? You're Mr. Ponce, ain't you?
That's right.
Why, you sure stirred up a lot of talk, Mr. Ponce. The whole town, gee.
Yeah, I know.
Mr. Rowan just stepped out for a couple of minutes, but if there's anything I can do...
You're the teller, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Been with the bank for 26 years now.
You don't say.
The name's Jonas Pilgrim, Mr. Ponsett.
Well, pleased to meet you, Mr. Pilgrim.
Of course, if you're in a hurry for something, maybe I could find Mr. Rowan.
No. As a matter of fact, it was you I wanted to talk to.
Me?
Yes. You see, I've just come from a session with Wyatt King over at the jail.
Oh?
And he told me about the shooting last night.
Uh-huh. That's real interesting, Mr. Ponce. Well, I've got some statements to get out now, so if you don't mind, I...
And King told me about the man who did it.
Oh, she.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a funny thing, Mr. Pilgrim. The description he gave me sure fits you right down to that tie you're wearing. And to come to think of it, you're just about the only person in town that does fit.
I don't know what you mean, sir.
Well, you don't, huh? You don't. Well, it was nice talking to you.
Mr. Ponsett.
Yeah?
You won't mention this to anybody else.
Well, I don't see what difference it makes as long as it wasn't you he was talking about.
Well, it might be kind of embarrassing.
Just what do you mean?
Well, all right. All right, I'll admit it to you, Mr. Ponsett. But you got to promise me you won't tell anybody else. You got to give me your word.
You shot him, huh?
I didn't intend to. I didn't even know who he was. You see, I wasn't here when he held up the bank.
Oh?
I was on my way back to town from Wooded Tolliver's ranch. I'd rid out to tell her that her account was overdrawn again.
Uh-huh.
And this fella, he come at me out of the dark. Told me he wanted my horse. I didn't even stop to think. I just grabbed my gun and let fire. I never should have done it, Mr. Ponsett. I don't know what got into me.
You're sorry you shot a man like Wyatt King?
No, not exactly, but well, it's kind of hard to explain. The fact is, I'm married, Mr. Ponsett. And Matilda, that's my wife. Matilda's kind of particular about some things. She's real particular about me. That's why I gotta wear this doggone collar. Just cuts my neck so I can hardly stand it sometimes.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Shame. I sure feel sorry for you, Jonas, but I don't see what that's got any connection
well,
with.
Well, now,
the...
Mr. Ponsett, if don't you see, if Matilda knew, if I so much as carried a gun, well, she'd just have a conniption fit. And if she was to find out that I used to be, well, kind of experienced at gunplay, why, she'd just raise the roof. I don't think that she'd ever let me get out of her sight after that. You see, I never told her that when I was younger, I used to be sort of quick on the trigger.
I'll be doggone. Well, I take it your talents haven't exactly deserted you, huh?
Well, sir, that was the doggonest thing. I wouldn't even had that dang revolver with me, except that Widow Tolliver had given me some money to deposit, and she was real worried about my getting it into town. All right, you see. It was old Smith Tolliver's gun. She insisted on loaning it to me.
I see.
When this Wyatt King jumped up at me, well, I guess some of my old instincts must have come through. Leastways, the next thing I knew, he was laying there in the dirt, not moving.
Yeah, I'll be darned.
Now, mind you, I wasn't a gunfighter in my younger days. But I did kind of manage to shoot my way out of a few scrapes. I guess I don't look much like it now, do I?
Well, a man's liable to do a certain amount of aging, I expect.
Sometimes I think I've done more than my share. Well, anyway, I suppose you can see now why I don't want folks to know what happened last night about me and Wyatt King.
Yeah, I guess you've got a point, Jonas. But I can't go on taking the credit for what you did.
Well, Mr. Punchett, you give me your word on it.
No, I didn't do any such thing.
Well, you sure did. Why, I wouldn't have been telling all this if I
didn't.
What in tarnation? Mr. Hawkins, what's all the rumpus about?
Wyatt King just broke out of jail.
He broke out of jail?
Yes, some darn fool forgot to lock his cell. Sheriff thinks he's heading toward Badwater Falls. We're getting a posse together.
For goodness sake.
Well, we won't be needing you, Jonas.
Oh, no, of course not. No.
But the sheriff was real anxious to have you come along, Mr. Ponsett.
Is that so? Well, I'm sorry. I won't be able to oblige.
But you've already captured Wyatt once.
Well, let's just say that once was enough. As a matter of fact, I'm figuring on leaving town. Which way is Badwater Falls?
South. Due south.
I'm heading north. So long. Well, inside of 5 minutes, the whole town of Copper Springs had ridden off in a southerly direction. The male population, that is. I guess Jonas and I were about the only two men that hadn't joined up with the sheriff's posse. In a way, I was kind of relieved that King had broken out of jail. At least I'd be able to leave town without any more of this foolishness about me capturing him. Oh, not that I ever wanted a fellow like King to go free, you understand, but I figured the posse would probably catch up to him pretty soon. He couldn't have had much of a head start. So I headed over to the livery stable to get Scar. I'd already paid for his keep in advance, but the man who ran the stable had gone off with the others, and I didn't feel like sticking around for the refund. Easy, boy. Easy, Scar. I looked around for his saddle. It was lying on the floor over by a pile of hay. And just as I picked it up, I noticed something funny about the hay. It was starting to move.
Just keep holding on to that saddle, Ponsett, and don't reach for your gun.
Wyatt.
If you make a move, I'll ram this pitchfork right through you.
Oh, you're crazy, Wyatt. You'll never get out of town.
There ain't nobody left in town to stop me, except you.
You got a wound in your belly. That'll stop you.
Don't worry about me, Ponsett. I'll make out. Now I'm taking your gun and your horse.
There are plenty of other horses here.
I'm taking yours.
Wyatt.
Shut up, or you'll get a taste of these broncs.
Well, there wasn't any point in my arguing about it, not with a pitchfork digging into my chest. So So I waited until he reached out a hand for my gun, and I gave that saddle a little toss. Caught him right in the neck. He went over backwards. I started to go for my holster, but Wyatt stuck out the handle of that pitchfork, and the next thing I knew, I was down the floor beside him. He banged his fist into my face, and I felt his hands go for my throat. I managed to get up on a knee and flipped him over. I heisted myself onto my knee, but he let loose with a kick, and I went flat again. I got a glimpse of his boot coming into my face, and I just got out of the way in time. And then he missed me and almost lost his balance, and I had time to get on my feet again. Came charging in with both fists again, and one of them whipped past my ear, and the other one smashed into my shoulder. And that left him wide open. Well, I just couldn't leave him lying there on the floor unconscious. So I figured it wouldn't be very long before he came to, so I picked him up and carted him across the street where he belonged. The jail was completely deserted, and there wasn't a sign of anybody, but the door to Wyatt's cell was unlocked, so I laid him on the cot inside and pulled the blanket up over him. I didn't want him to catch cold or anything like that, and I found the key in the front office, and I locked him in.
Hiya, Jonas. Hold up a minute, Jonas.
Mr. Ponce, what? I thought you left town.
I'm leaving right away, Jonas, right away. That is, if you'll do me a little favor.
A favor?
Yeah, you're through for the day with the bank, aren't you?
Oh, yes. We close at 4 o'clock sharp. I'm on my way home now.
Well, I was wondering if you'd mind putting off your supper a little bit.
Well, Matilda,
Until the posse comes back, that is.
What for, Mr. Ponce?
Well, you see, I was over at the jail just a minute ago, and there's nobody over there watching things while the sheriff's out of town.
Well, I don't see what difference it makes. Wyatt King was the only prisoner, and he's escaped.
Yeah. But even so, you know, suppose somebody were to break in. They could do a lot of damage, you know. The sheriff's probably got some important papers in the file.
No, Mr. Ponce.
No, but you never know, Jonas. You never know about things like that.
Well, I guess the sheriff should have locked up when he left. But I don't see what...
Well, then you won't mind holding down the fort while he's gone.
Well, as long as there aren't any prisoners to look after.
I just wouldn't feel right about running off if there wasn't somebody to mind the jail.
Well, Mr. Ponce, it sure seems to me like you're worrying unnecessarily, but... Well, I guess I can do that much for you.
Thanks, Jonas. I really appreciate it. All you have to do is sit in the front office until somebody shows up.
All right, Mr. Ponce. I'll get right over there.
Go along, Jonas. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Mr. Ponce.
Yeah?
I hope you aren't put out about my letting folks think it was you who shot Wyatt King last night.
Oh, I guess I'll get over it.
After all, sometimes it is best if a man takes a responsibility for something, even if he hasn't done it himself.
What? Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is. Yeah. Well, I'll be seeing you.
I tell you what, I got out of Copper Springs as fast as I could. I just wasn't sure how things were going to work out. But then, a couple of weeks later, a copy of the Copper Springs Press caught up with me. And there was Jonas Pilgrim's picture all over the front page. Yes, sir. A great big article telling how the sheriff and his posse had come back to town without finding a trace of Wyatt. And there he was, right in the jail. And there was Jonas Pilgrim snoozing in the front office, calm as a cucumber. Modest Pilgrim, that's what the paper called Jonas. He said he tried to deny having anything to do with Wyatt's capture, but the folks in Copper Springs, they just hadn't believed him. Well, it was plain as day that he'd taken Wyatt single-handed. Well, like Jonas said, sometimes it's best for a man to take the responsibility of the thing, even if he hasn't done it.
Mr.
Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture, The Glenn Miller Story. Others in the cast were Bill Johnstone, Herb Vigran, Junius Matthews, Barney Phillips, and Joel Cranston. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. This is John Wald speaking.
From May of 1954, there's The Six Shooter, starring Jimmy Stewart. Well, with that, we're out of time on this edition of Yesteryear, but that's all right. We invite you to make a point to join us again next week at this very same time for more of the best from the golden age of radio. Till next time, I'm Craig Roberts. So long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. Comedy, mystery, fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Do-de-o, 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 do-de-o.